She stimulated the economy, for example, abolishing custom barriers, which divided the country within itself. She encouraged entrepreneurship by noblemen. In foreign policy, she did a lot also to demonstrate that Russia was truly a European great power, participating in various coalitions and wars, and most notably, most impressively, defeating Prussia as one of the allies in the Seven Years' War, and even being able to briefly occupy Berlin with Russian armies in 1760, a wonderful influence, a symbol of what Russia had achieved as a great power. There are also, though, some new elements in this, what might be called a Petrine formula. One way of describing these might be as a sort of feminine ideal of progress. Now, I don't mean this in the sense of supposedly natural differences between the way men and women look at the world, but in a truly historical sense, as an echo, in other words, of values that were conventionally associated with women in European culture, and hence elite Russian culture, in the 18th century. And one sees this choice to associate herself with what were seen in European culture at the time as female values in a number of ways, in particular in Elizabeth I's a particular attention to bringing a spirit of culturedness, of civilization, and even one might describe it as beauty to Russia. And this, of course, for this was part of it, was to show that Russia was not a savage land, but in this case in an even more visible way than Peter, a more gentle way, one might say. Now, where Peter's approach was to show Russians Europeanness through improved technologies and improved science, Elizabeth, though she didn't neglect science and technique, was much more preoccupied with aesthetics, with beauty. As a result, for example, she built, or in a few cases had totally rebuilt, some of Russia's most important, most elegant royal palaces, almost invariably designed by Italian architects. The most famous examples of these are known throughout the world. The Winter Palace, now the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg, built by an Italian architect, designed by an Italian architect named Bartolomeo Rastrelli, built in the middle of the 18th century, 1754 to 64, was one of her most famous examples of bringing this Western aesthetic to Russia. At Peterhof, a summer residency, a great palace was built also by Rastrelli. And finally, at another residence, the Tsars had a lot of residences, what was called the Catherine Palace, named in honor of her mother, Catherine I, built at Tsarskoye Selo, also again Rastrelli doing the designs. Beautiful, elegant Western palaces. Parallel to all this and connected, Elizabeth promoted what might be called a cult of happiness in Russian public life. This cult of happiness was visible really just about everywhere you looked. For example, odes about the ruler at the time spoke of the happiness that she brought to Russia, of the love and kindness with which she ruled. Just as an example, here's one ode written by what was Russia's most famous poet at the time, Mikhail Lomonosov, at the time of her coronation in 1742. I quote, "She resurrects the universe, renews nature for us, covers the fields with flowers again. And so kindness and love and the bright gaze of Peter's daughter enlivens us with a new life." One could see here in a way a sort of secular version of the part of the tradition of Russian rulers known as the Tishaishi Tsar, the gentle, tender, loving Tsar, though here in a much more secular form than the original notion, which was primarily religious. I should say that this ideal of love was also in many ways echoed, in a strange but not irrelevant way, in Elizabeth's private life. She had no husband and spent her time going through a rather long succession of lovers, not as many as Catherine II, but we'll get to her. And all of this was done in a most visible way, a most public way. This wasn't just a private matter. This was treated as a matter of right, and indeed of the value she placed on pleasure above all things. Part of her style of bringing beauty and westernization and pleasure and happiness to Russia. All these trends in many ways were developed further in the even more important reign of Catherine II. As I noted, Catherine came to the throne in a matter that had become troublingly, to some, common in the 18th century. Her predecessor was overthrown by officers and soldiers of the elite guards regiments.